And welcome to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on the controls, and let's see. I guess we can start with a little bit about the election. The election was held on Saturday, May 6th. It covered some positions, including mayoral positions in Pasadena. There was the HISD ballot. There was some various utility district votes. On the one item that was countywide, which was the ballot proposition about the funding from HISD to the state, that got a yes vote of 86% and a no vote of 14%. So that unpleasant but necessary option passed by an overwhelming margin. You can get all your election results at harrisvotes.com. You can see how all the different district, all the different county and small city races, HISD races, etc., turned out. Republican Representative Mo Brooks from Alabama apparently feels that sick people that are poor don't deserve medical care. It goes something like this. Quote, "It will allow insurance companies to require people who have higher health care costs to contribute more to the insurance pool that helps offset all those costs, thereby reducing the cost," and this is the good part, "to those people who lead good lives. They're healthy. They've done the things to keep their bodies healthy. And right now, those are the people who have done things the right way that are seeing their costs skyrocketing." The article that I have a link to, thinkwingradio.com, for today's show post, the idea that morality, this is from the article, the idea that morality dictates healthy people pay less and sick people more has been floating around the margins of conservative healthcare thought. John Mackey, the libertarian owner of Whole Foods, remember that, made this case in a 2009 Wall Street Journal op-ed denouncing Obamacare. Quote, he said, "Rather than increase government spending and control, we need to address the root causes of poor health. This begins with the realization that every American adult is responsible for his or her own health. Unfortunately, many of our health care problems are self-inflicted. Two-thirds of Americans are now overweight, I plead guilty, and one-third are obese, I plead guilty. Most of the diseases that kill us and account for about 70% of all health care spending," and he lists them, "are mostly preventable through diet, exercise, not smoking, minimal alcohol, blah, 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 blah." And conservative healthcare analyst Jeffrey H. Anderson has scoffed, "Having people pay their own way is apparently an injustice akin to segregating them by race or creed." And then, of course, there's this little headline that I kind of liked. Morning Joe says, "GOP looks stupid with dishonest defense of healthcare vote. Please stop lying." I love that. I should give out the phone number. We do have open forum. It's 713-526-5738. You can discuss anything that I may mention. You can talk about something that has caught your attention. I know Sally Yates and Clapper testified today. We can talk about that. I have some notes on that as well. 713-526-5738. Here's a thing. These conservatives, these libertarians, they don't have a concept of what insurance is. This is something that keeps coming up over and over again. You can have someone that leads healthy lives, that leads a healthy life, that watches their weight and all this other stuff, and this kind of person may be athletic, and this kind of person may end up needing a knee operation or a shoulder operation, or, you know, just get into a car wreck. Healthy people get into car wrecks all the time. And you know what? Then you need insurance. So what these, and the young people, and I understand young people generally have less money. So for that reason alone, it makes sense to skew the insurance rates so that they're affordable for young people. But, you know, the bottom line is in 20 years, these 20 and 30 year olds, they're going to have high blood pressure. And they're going to have cholesterol issues, and they may have heart problems. And no matter, you know, some of this is genetic. Some of this has nothing to do with exercise. There was a famous health nut went out, exercised all the time, ran marathons. His family had a history of heart disease. And the guy died at like 65. You know, I sometimes make a joke that you can live a healthy life and you may not live longer, but at least it will seem like it. Now, that's really cynical, but insurance, spreading the risk over a large pool, because you may have an accident. You may get cancer. I have a friend right now, 50 years old, never had any symptoms, never had any problems, healthy, youngish man, you know, from my age, 50 looks young, went in for what is considered to be your age 50 baseline colonoscopy. Turned out he had stage 4 colon cancer. This is a guy who bikes cross country, really healthy guy, stage 4 colon cancer. God forbid he didn't have insurance. My stepdaughter, a friend of hers, brother, early 20s, terminal testicular cancer. Young person. We don't even know what the causes of testicular cancer are. I mean, this is what the universe is about. The universe is kind of random. This is why you have insurance. This is why you spread the risk. And what these conservatives and libertarians really believe, at the end of the day, everybody's on their own. You live your life, and your consequences are your consequences, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. That's kind of the philosophy. Of course, when the shoe's on the other foot, they may change their minds. They may be happy they have insurance that you don't have. But insurance is about spreading risk. Why can they not grasp that concept? I do not know. Okay, well, I might as well move on to at least one more topic. Well, two more topics. I'll try to keep these short, although I have extensive notes. James Clapper and Sally Yates testified today. Apparently, Sally Yates did a great job. The scope of this particular testimony was rather narrow because of the Senate committee. It was a judicial committee as opposed to like an intelligence committee. So their investigation is kind of narrow. But apparently she acquitted herself well. I would like to think that we will see great things from Sally Yates in the years to come. James Clapper made an interesting statement. Quote, the Russians used cyber operations against both political parties. Russia also collected on certain political party affiliated, Republican party affiliated targets, but didn't release any Republican related data. So the intelligence community assessment concluded that President Putin directed and influenced the campaign to erode the faith and confidence of the American people in our presidential election process. And there's a lot more. Let's see.
By the way, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I had one of those today.
Which one of what?
A colonoscopy. And, hey, I highly recommend it.
Only if it turns out
and
well.
I got a whole portfolio now of
really?
Photographs. So
yeah,
maybe we could offer them as a premium on the next fund drive.
As long as... Get an inside look at KPFT.
But I'm
really inside.
And, but I got to tell you, man.
I'm sorry, did you say you do or do not? Hold on. You said you do or do not have insurance.
But, it's
Bob. Did you say you do or do not have insurance? I can't hear you.
It's one of the most curable.
I asked you if you do or do not have insurance. Do you have insurance?
What's happening?
I don't know. You can't hear me. I feel like I'm talking to my wife. Okay. Do you have insurance to cover any of this? You can't hear me. All right. Let's move on. So we're going to offer perhaps a premium in the next fundraiser, an inside look at Bob's colon. Can't hear you. All right, Bob is... Yeah, now I can hear you. So do you have insurance?
That's cool.
Now I can't hear you anymore. All right, never mind. Let's just move on. Okay, so Trump's lawyer knew about it, and Mike Pence knew about it, courtesy of Elijah Cummings. So everyone who's claiming ignorance, they weren't ignorant. One other thing I do want to make sure I touch on, I mean, I have notes here on why the poor tend to stay poor, but this is something I want to really put out there. NATO has an Article 5, and the Article 5 is the Mutual Defense Clause. To sum it up, it says collective defense means an attack against one is an attack against all. The principle of collective defense is enshrined in Article 5. NATO invoked Article 5 for the first time after the 9/11 terrorist attack. NATO has taken collective defense measures on several occasions. NATO has standing forces on active duty that contribute to the alliance's collective defense. The first part, because I actually looked up the text, the first part of Article 5 of the NATO treaty says, quote, the parties agree that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe or North America shall be considered an attack against all of them. And this is where we start to parse language. An armed attack. So does that specifically exclude cyber attacks, infrastructure attacks by computer, messing with elections, dumping personal emails or corporate emails, for that matter, that are supposed to be private? You know, that word, armed, what constitutes armed? And I think this is a discussion that the allies really need to have, because at this point the Russian hackers have attacked the UK in terms of the Brexit vote. They may have done a little funny stuff on the Scotland independence vote, which came close. They've messed with the US election. They've messed with the German election. They've messed with the Dutch election. They've messed with the French election. At what point does this become an act of war? And at what point is this simply, you know, international cyber mischief? I think this is a discussion that really needs to be had. I think it goes to the core of what Western civilization, what they call liberal democracy in the West, currently is. And at what point does this interference, this significant, because this isn't just spying, which is like, you know, okay, we all do that. This is essentially an attempt at regime change. At what point is that an act of war? So I think we have some stuff to discuss. 713-526-5738. We still have some open lines. We do have some callers. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner's on controls. I have a website, thinkwingradio.com, where I have lots of information and links and point to some articles, and I'm on Twitter at thinkwingradio. Bob Gartner's on controls. That's my station ID, and please go to kpft.org. Support the station, man. We need money. We just always need money. It's sad, but we always need money. So whenever you feel like sending 5, 15, 50 bucks, whatever, please, kpft.org, and hopefully you'll mention Think Wing Radio. Okay.
Can I put this in your ear real quick?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, colon cancer is the most...
I'm sorry, is this on the radio as well? Just want to make sure. Okay.
I believe it's up there for the most curable and the most easily treatable.
If it's caught early.
Yeah, and around the age of 50, they like to see you get one of these colonoscopies. I've done two now. They're not fun. The prep is not fun.
Yeah, the prep is actually worse than the procedure, because the procedure, they put you under anesthesia, you don't even remember anything.
Yeah, it's wonderful waking up from that stuff. So I recommend that to everyone.
And the point, to enhance your point, or to enlarge on your point, my friend who went in for his age 50 baseline, stage 4. No symptoms. Asymptomatic, stage 4. So, you know, a general recommendation is a general recommendation. My friend might have been lucky if he had gone in at age 40. It might be a different story. So, you know, we can only go by the statistics, but you got to, I mean, this stuff is unpleasant. It's like, you know, our bodies are made with orifices that they can examine in unpleasant ways. And that's kind of sad. You know, that's the way God or nature has built us. But
what's great about that is they have the technology now to go inside there with a camera. And, I mean, you've seen the photographs.
Not They're of yours, incredible. But mine.
I thought I saw a happy face in there.
Well, and I want to make sure that people understand there are endoscopies, there are colonoscopies, there are sigmoidoscopies. These things do different things. Some of them check the upper GI tract. They'll look at your stomach. They'll look at the various valves going from your stomach to your intestine. They'll look at your throat and your larynx and see if you have acid reflux. There is a difference between a colonoscopy and a sigmoidoscopy. A sigmoidoscopy goes further. goes further up the intestine.
I think the sigmoid is the shorty one. I was conscious for that. There's a hard left turn it makes that I
Yeah, that's sigma. I think that that's the deeper one, though. I think the colonoscopy is the short one. But whatever, ask your doctor and make sure that you get the thing that's best for you. So enough about guts. First one up is Jerry. Jerry, you're on the air. How you doing tonight? We have a real mixed bag of topics here.
Yeah. Yeah, once again, you know, once again, this just shows it's not just that Trump is incompetent, or at best a semi-competent, and I don't even think he's that, actually. He showed a gross ignorance earlier here a few days ago about U.S. history when he asked about why the Civil War and everything. Like, it was so simple, it could have been so easily avoided.
It's never been discussed in public, though. We really can't expect him to know.
Well, no, and you know what? That
sarcasm alert.
I'm willing to bet money. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, sarcasm alert is all I'm saying.
Yeah. But I'm willing to bet money that that conversation played well with his base.
His ignorant base, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you guys, you know, once again, you guys are going to, Republicans, you're going to have to either lie your way to do this stuff or you're going to have to suspend the Constitution. My guess is you're going to have to do both and everything. Is it worth giving up the country for some policy decisions that you're going to have to reverse anyway? It's not like they'll last forever. They won't.
I think that the Republicans at this point, as a party, as an institution, I don't think that they have the capability of introspection, but I think they really need to think about, and I think America really needs to think about, what is this party? Does this party put country first? Is this party so desirous of power, so hungry for power, that they will do anything, hide anything, in order to keep, maintain, and increase power? They're hiding things that, in many cases, they know. They've been briefed. They're making sure that they don't get out.
Oh, yeah.
They're making sure that they don't get investigated. Yeah. So this is a party that is neck deep in potential treason. And you have to believe when the upper echelons of a party try so hard to hide the truth, they're neck deep in the dirt.
Yeah.
Got to believe
it. Or something worse than dirt, actually. But anyway, you know, and I think this is one of the reasons why Colbert's kind of like faced a little bit of extra heat on something that he said. What was it, last week, I guess?
Yeah.
And all that about Trump and Putin and all that, lots of people will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there was at least one moment. There was at least one moment where maybe he could have used a.
Yeah, he admitted he could have used a little bit nicer.
But they bleeped it.
He probably chose a different word.
But they bleeped it and they pixelated it. So.
But well, not only that, but they bleeped it and it was in the safe harbor too. But yet you've got idiots. You know, obviously the guy at the FCC doesn't know the basic rules about the broadcasting at the FCC.
I don't think that word is one of the seven deadly words.
No, it's not one of the seven deadly words. So what I was going to say is that basically this guy does not know the fundamental rules of broadcasting, the key, you know, the main rules of broadcasting that even people like you and I know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and he's the head of the FCC. What does that tell you about this guy?
Well, it tells me that, like the other people that Trump has appointed, Trump is an ignorant man who doesn't know how things work. And unlike other presidents, he has hired other ignorant people who don't know how things work or who are there specifically to make sure that whatever works breaks.
Yeah.
They're hollowing out the government. They're hollowing out the institutional memory. It could take a generation to rebuild what they've damaged.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
I mean,
It would just take 4 years for them to really, really, really mess a bunch of stuff up.
They've already done a humongous job in terms of long-term damage to the capabilities of this government, both diplomatically and technologically.
Well, I wonder how many people have actually quit, how many senior people have quit out of, like, the diplomatic corps and stuff like that. It's funny we don't get any kind of information on that, but I brought that up a couple of times before. On the air, and that is, I think that there's a whole lot of senior people who can retire who just say, they're just saying, hey, guess what? I'm bailing. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully, if we get a smart government, some of them will come back because we're going to need them desperately. Well, I doubt it, too, but hopefully some. Jerry, I have a bunch of callers, so I'm going to have to be a little careful
with
the time.
Fine. That's fine. I just wanted to make one other point, and that is to the two or three people who actually argued with you about you know, Kim Jong-un has done nothing to meet with the president of the United States, even someone as crappy, pardon my French, as Trump.
Yeah, they did.
And everything. This guy does not deserve to meet with Trump. He deserves to meet with, like, not even the State Department guy, not even Tillerson. He should meet with somebody who, like, reports to Tillerson.
Well,
that's what these two guys should be. That's the level these two guys should be working on.
I think that meeting at the ministerial level, essentially, and Bob, we're hearing you over the air. I don't know if you can hear me or not. You cannot hear me. I think in order to negotiate anything meaningful, assuming there could be negotiations and assuming that they could be in good faith, I think negotiating at the ministerial level is reasonable. Heads of state typically don't meet unless there's something to talk about.
You know what? The bad faith, let me point out, the bad faith is all on the other side. The bad faith is on Kim Jong-un's side and his dad's and on North Korea's and also on Duterte.
Duterte? You're talking about the Philippines?
Yeah, and all that. But anyway, let me let you go. Yep. Let me let the other people go.
Okay.
I just I couldn't believe those people called and actually said that stuff.
I know.
You know, even Trump, as crummy as he is more important and better than meeting with those jerks. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a tough call. All right, thank you, Jerry, for calling. Take care. Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. Next up is Greg.
Hey, Mike.
Hey,
I haven't talked to you in a while.
I've
kind of been in and out and around. This has kind of been an interesting month or so.
Yeah, may you live through interesting times is the old curse.
Yeah, same that way. It's amazing to me how a guy who gets elected by people who really don't bother to think about who they're voting for can do anything and everything, and this is amazing that Republicans at the committee hearing, they were asking about leaks. It's like Richard Blumenthal said on MSNBC today and CNN that you got two different hearings, and it's amazing how when you have a sitting president telling his successor, don't trust this guy. Watch this guy, and yet you still appoint him national security advisor. You still have him in your campaign. You had him speak for you.
The intelligence community made it really, really clear in the plainest terms what they had on him.
Mm-hmm. And this is amazing. The people, I'm going to ask the people tonight who support Donald Trump, you happy with what you got? You happy with the people you've elected? You happy with some of the things they've done, whether it's the repeal of Obamacare that they're trying to pull on people? These are the same folks who promise you so much and deliver so little.
I think that, you know, you're innocent in this country until proven guilty. But when you talk about circumstantial evidence, when so many people try so hard to hide, cover, and obfuscate a really serious question about American security, U.S. security, and U.S. international relations, I don't think it's unreasonable to infer the possibility that a great many of these people, under a thorough investigation, would turn out to be implicated.
They should be, if it's true. And there's a new book out called Richard Nixon on Life, and they had one of the authors on one of the other stations on one of the national shows recently. And he said, his name is John Farrell, by the way, and he said that the Trump people act as though they have something to hide.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to tell people that you believe in America and you believe in all these things we stand for as a country, and yet you don't understand your history, You play to anybody and everybody. You play to groups of people that are so blinded by either partisanship or hatred of others who don't agree with them, worship the way they do, look as they do, or have just a different outlook on life and a perspective.
A theory
it
that
almost,
I'm...
It almost tells you something more about them, not the opposition.
A theory...
And then when you call the opposition enemies.
Yeah.
That should tell you all you need to know about these people.
There is a theory, I don't know if I read it or if I came up with it, it doesn't matter, but there is a theory that I'm beginning to subscribe to, that these very, very conservative Republicans are looking at contemporary Russia and decided, you know what? We didn't like the Soviet Union because they were socialist, and of course they were authoritarian, and they were atheists. And now we have Russia, which is pro-capitalism, or at least oligarchic capitalism, pro-capitalism, authoritarian, which they don't necessarily object to, and pro-religion. They advocate the Russian Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church. So it's like maybe some of them are thinking, you know what? The USSR was the enemy. Maybe Russia isn't. And if that's what they're thinking, it goes a long way toward explaining why they're acting and saying what they do.
Yeah, and I always ask about the very people who think that way, because we are still talking about Vladimir Putin. We're talking about, even though you have alleged pseudo-democracy, which really isn't a democracy, you're talking about...
Are you talking about ours or Russia's?
Russia's. You're talking about ex-KGB spy chief. You're talking about a guy who apparently doesn't like any type of protest against him. Remember the rock band over in the Soviet Union?
Yeah.
That was summarily...
I don't even know if we can say their name.
Yeah, we can't say their
radio.
Name, but most people would know
yeah.
who we're talking
yeah.
about.
P-Dash Riot.
Yeah. And you remember how they were summarily...
Arrested, imprisoned. Arrested, not ostracized. Arrested and imprisoned.
And imprisoned because they even dared say, we disagree with Vladimir Putin.
And we now have certain red states that are trying very hard to make civil disobedience and protest very costly, if not impossible. So, I mean, we're seeing that the Republican Party, and I've believed this for a long time, but I think it's getting more naked, they really do have authoritarian tendencies. You look at Michigan, you look at Wisconsin, you look to some extent at Florida. They really have authoritarian tendencies. I think that they find Putin to be very comfortable.
Well, yeah, you might say that. I think that there's always been this level of authoritarianism and also maybe even an autocracy. That if I have mine, if you don't have yours, that's okay.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of that. You know, the middle income, the median income in this country, depending on what part of the country you're in, last I checked, was somewhere between $45,000 and $75,000 for a family of four. And I think that in Congress, a lot of these people think middle class is $100,000 to $200,000 a year. That's what they think median income is. So... Anyway, Greg, I have to go on to some other folks
right.
because we have full lines, which is kind of cool.
I wanted to touch base and give you some thoughts tonight. I'll call again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Greg. Okay, next
Thank
up
you.
We have Bye-bye. Gary. Gary, you're on. How are you doing tonight?
Well, Mike, I have a question and I have an observation.
Okay.
My question goes back a little ways, but you were talking about all the hacking and going on with Russia, and we had the spying where you were being, you know, covert, observing and learning. But now this hacking is out in the open, and the more open it is, the more hacking occurs. And we know about Europe and now France and WikiLeaks. And what's going on here? Is this like, I mean, they're not spying. They're like bragging.
No, I think it's an act of
the
war.
Republican tendency toward authoritarianism.
There's that.
I don't believe in abortion, so you don't get one. I don't believe in drugs, so you don't get any.
Well, they believe in personal responsibility except when they don't. They're libertarians except when they're not. They believe in constitutional freedoms except for the ones they disagree with. This is the discordant thinking of a lot of these conservatives. But to get back to your first point, I'm coming to the place where I'm thinking that Russia has cyber, not just hacked, but cyber attacked half a dozen NATO countries. And I'm wondering when Article 5 becomes relevant. When does this become an act of collective war? Regime change. They're attempting to overthrow governments in NATO. At what point does this become an Article 5 question in NATO? I think this is something, this is a discussion I'm trying to provoke.
Well, I'll tell you the answer is at the point where they actually, you know, you can play all the games you want, but until they actually overthrow a government, it's just an electronic game, as Game of Thrones, I think.
But they overthrew ours. They overthrew ours. They tried to overthrow the Netherlands. They tried to overthrow the... The degree of mischief
You're saying Clinton lost because of the Russians?
Yes.
No, Clinton lost because the Democrats are dead in the water.
No, Clinton got Clinton got 2.8 million votes, and in the three states that she lost by like 70 or 80,000 votes combined, there's a lot of mischief that was done with the ballots, with the voting machines. One of the things that the 2000 election has cursed us with is electronic voting. So easily manipulable.
All right, I have another comment, and I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
But something occurred to me that this American democracy started when you had a township or a village of people, and they all said, well, we want the government to hear our problems. And they all got together and they elected, said, let's pick old Jed or old Fred. He's a lawyer, or he's smart, and he knows what to do. And we'll send, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Now, the people don't pick them until they get start soliciting for the picking by the people. I mean, I don't know what's changed, but it used to be democracy was the town said, hey, let's pick this guy. But now it's this guy's picking you with his TV commercials and his ads and all the money and the politicking. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, let's
things have changed so much. Hold on.
Hold on, Gary. The leader
is picking their people.
Gary,
think about that.
I do think about that.
Okay.
Let's start with this. Right now, we have over 300 million people in this country. In 1776, the eastern colonies had 3 million people. So a true democracy was more possible with a large country with a small population than it is with an enormous country with a huge population. We don't have, I mean, this has been said many times by many people, we don't have a true democracy. We have a representative Republican form of democracy, which means that you elect people that you hope will make the kinds of choices you would make if you were in their place. It's a representative democracy. I think that there are legitimate questions about political dynasties. I think there are legitimate questions about money and financial influence in politics. I think that there are a lot of legitimate questions about how our Republican democracy is functioning. But it's important to understand what kind of governmental system we have.
But isn't this the cause of the polarity that is destroying our nation?
I think that there are a number of causes of the polarity, and I think that conservative media, which does a lot of lying and distortion, and there's a lot of confirmation bias.
But the,
among, let me finish.
Never
let me
do.
Finish. Hello. Let me finish.
I'm a liberal. But
yeah, let me finish.
It's not that they lie; they select.
Gary, you got to let me finish. Okay, you can't take over the show.
Why not?
You got to let me finish. I think that the conservatives, a lot of the conservative audience their confirmation bias leads them to believe things that are not true if they hear it on the radio or if they see it on TV. I think liberals are just intellectually and philosophically very, very different. I'm not going to say that a liberal never lies. I'm not going to say that a liberal never selectively picks information. But it's really rare for a liberal to just outright make stuff up, which is something I have seen conservatives do many times. So, anyway. All right, Gary.
No, wait, one more thing.
Okay,
be
quick.
I want to make a quick comment about the state of the health insurance and the effort to improve people's health in this country, okay?
Mm.
All right, a friend of mine went to the doctor. He said, look, doctor, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't gamble, and I don't carouse all night with the women. Will I live a long life? The doctor said, what for?
Okay. On that note, Gary, I'm going to let you go.
You got to live life. Screw this insurance.
All right.
Don't die for insurance. Live your life and die.
You know, you make God laugh by telling him your plans. All right, Gary, take care.
Gary, I want to see your photographs.
All right. We got to go. Take care, Gary. Okay, we do have open lines, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, Bob Gartner on controls. KPFT.org is where you go online to donate money to the station to help keep us on the air because, man, we can always use some cash. I've got three callers on the line, so if you call now, there's an excellent chance I'll be able to get you on. I'll try to adjust my time with callers depending on how many callers I have. Okay, next up is Mark. Thank you for waiting, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, I ate, drank, and had a good time, but I did need my insurance because I got melanoma.
Can I ask at what age, if I may?
57.
Okay.
So I'm 3 years into it, and everything's fine, but I'm so pre-existing.
Oh, yeah, and actually very fortunate. Melanoma can be a very, very
right.
tough disease. It's not like one of your, you know, skin cancers. It's like, oh, that's okay, we just remove it, you're done.
Right. When my doctor was giving me the diagnosis, he was crying. So I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm 3 years free of it,
good.
But under the, you know, the health care that's coming down the line.
You wouldn't be able to buy any.
No, never. Not with melanoma.
But that's okay, because according to this Alabama representative, you know, if you can't afford it, you don't deserve it.
Right.
You haven't lived a good enough life. You've been in the sun too much or something.
Right. Well, anyway, that's my take on it. I'll let you go.
Okay, I appreciate hearing your story, Mark.
Bye.
All right, take care. We have open lines, 713-526-5738. Next up is Johnny. You are on the air. How are you doing tonight, Johnny?
I'd like to see Gary's colonoscopy pictures.
I don't know. I've seen mine, and they're not anything I'd want to brag about. It just looks like a lot of pink stuff with vaguely visible blood vessels, and you just keep going up the tunnel, and you just keep praying you don't see anything that makes you go, uh-oh.
Just as long as you don't see something that looks like brain convolutions, you're doing okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know that your GI tract goes that far.
You got some of them in your ass.
Well, there are some people that make you think that their GI tract goes all the way up to their freaking brains. Yes, I have to concede. There are people like that on both sides of the political spectrum, I must say, to be fair.
Seven letters. IOIYAAR. Does that ring a bell?
No, you're going to have to help me out.
It's okay if you are a Republican. Such is the case, once again, over the hundreds and hundreds of examples we get on Republican Party hypocrisy. In the case of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his wife, Virginia, all kinds of questionable behaviors and conflicts of interest. And no Republican that I recall ever registered any complaints about that. But yet you have a judge in Arkansas, Wendell Griffin, I think that's how you say his name, a Sixth Circuit Judicial he's one of those judges that oversees judicial stuff. But anyways, a case came before him, a complaint by a drug manufacturer in regards to the Arkansas prison system wanting to execute people with drugs that were expiring.
Yes.
And so the case came before him, and he decided to stop it in order to have a hearing later on where they could present evidence on both sides. He didn't stop the execution per se, but he was accused of being ideological because a month or two previous, he's a part of, in his church, he was participating in a kind of artistic type of, you know, like liberals like to do. We dress up and go on the streets and we protest and we dress up. Or, in this case, he was lying down on a gurney pretending to be a death row.
Well, I mean, I will say that judges have a responsibility, even though they have been nominated partly on party affiliation, which is an indicator of ideology. I do think the judges have a responsibility to maintain at least some, let's even call it a fiction of neutrality. You know, one of the biggest complaints against someone like Scalia would be that he'd be going out and essentially advocating to conservative groups things that were considered judicially inappropriate. Some of the other Alito has done something similar, I guess, you know, then Bader Ginsburg has started doing her stuff. I really think that judges need to dial it back, whether they're left or right. They need to dial it back and at least offer the appearance of not advocating a particular point of view. Now, I think it's possible. I mean, I consider myself a liberal. I consider myself a progressive. But, you know, if I have a case before me, I believe I am capable, if I was in that position, of ruling based on the law. But if I am too strong in advocating my liberalism, I think it's not unreasonable for someone to doubt whether my judgment is impartial.
Again, you're making my case. Here's the thing. I would believe that judges should behave that way. But when you have one judge after the other, not just in the Supreme Court, but judges on everywhere else in the United States,
up and down,
behaving, getting politically active, their wives being politically active in things that are questionable, like Clarence Thomas's Virginia.
Yep, in the 2000 election.
No one raised any hackles about that.
Scalia and Thomas.
Admitted liberal.
In the 2000.
All of a sudden, it's not okay for him to participate in his church's anti-death penalty stuff.
In the 2000 Supreme Court case, in any other circumstance, Thomas and Scalia should have recused themselves because they both had significant relationships with the plaintiffs. In the case of Scalia, he was friends with Dick Cheney. In the case of Thomas, his wife was part of the Bush election campaign in D.C.
Right, and so, also she worked for the Heritage Foundation as a lobbyist.
At that time?
Yeah,
okay.
And she joined, and most recently she joined the Tea Party, and she went up on in front of a podium dressed up like the Statue of Liberty. Remember that?
Well, I don't.
Drug her husband along with her.
I don't know that being part of the Heritage Society would have been enough for Thomas to recuse, but I think the fact that she was running part of the Bush campaign was enough to make Thomas recuse. And the Supreme Court is the only federal court, the only court really, that doesn't have specific recusal rules.
Which is a bunch of crap. Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
And once again, it's okay if you're a Republican, but if you're a liberal judge, regardless of whether you're black, and Wendell Griffin is a black man, that's not the issue in this case. In this case, it's because they think he's too liberal.
Well, I'm going to have
to. He did a good job of explaining his position on MSNBC last night. So if you have a way to access that on the Internet, I would recommend you hear what he had to say. I think he represented himself well, and he put me at ease.
Well, Johnny, I'm going to have to let you go because I got several other callers I need to get to, and I appreciate
you. You put me at ease? Clarence Thomas, no.
Okay.
Pope and Trump, definitely not.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling, Johnny. I appreciate it. One thing I will say about Trump, it's the only thing I will say about Trump that's sort of left-handed way, sort of positive. I think that the Republican Party has stopped being the party of hypocrisy because they've made very, very plain what they truly believe now. They feel like the gloves are off, pull off the cloaks, pull off the hats, everything is naked, and now we can be who we are. So, you know, we're seeing the Republicans for what they are, naked desire for power and authoritarianism. Okay, next up is, I have to do a station ID. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM, kpft.org, help send us money, thinkwingradio.com, my website at Think Wing Radio on Twitter. M.O.D., you're on the air. How you doing?
Hello.
Okay, I got two more callers behind you, so I'm going to have to try to be thrifty with time here. How you doing?
Okay, we'll move it. Hey, my first calling obviously took a while. They said they could find some signage, construction signage, that, you know, watch your first step, and it didn't start for a couple hours. But anyway, do you think, Mike, that if, you know, we're watching this North Korea situation and, like, Russia, Turkey, and Iran and Syria had a no-fly zone pass, a safe fly zone to keep the United States out of east, northern Syria.
You're talking about the Russian proposal for a no-fly zone for, like, the U.S. and its allies?
It went through the U.N. last week. And so up to that point...
I'm sure the U.S. would veto that if it came to the Security Council.
They won't include them. I don't know how that works.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, so up to that point, though, we're watching, North Korea guy, while, you know, Jordan and Israel and the U.S. are just bombing the poop out of, the Golden Heights area, southwest corner of Israel.
Well, of course, part of the problem.
And then northern eastern Syria.
Well, of course, part of the problem is they've fired so many people that are responsible for keeping an eye on those areas that, you know, now we're just spread so thin in terms of policy decisions, policy analysis. Intelligence analysis, you know, they're hollowing out the government, which makes it very, very difficult to keep track of all this stuff and deal with it appropriately.
Well, again, I just find it interesting that we're fixated on North Korea while up to this last week, several years, you know, the paper agreement between the Saudis and the U.S. deal in 2002 was to basically help assist taking down Syria. You know, the U.S. is supposed to help, you know, assist giving access to Iran. This is part of also the Richard Perle's paper in 99, Wolfowitz's Bush Doctrine also. This has been laid out for some time. I was watching. It started out as, I think it was called Arab Spring, but now it's pretty much a good chunk of the Middle East, right, Mike, that are...
in turmoil. All of this, in my opinion, is post-World War I turmoil. World War I is what set all this stuff loose, and I've made that reference before. At the beginning of the century, that's what set the stage for this explosion.
But the Class of Civilizations by the Beast, Perle, if you see his writings with the Neil Chickens they did in the late 90s, that's not really just... Well, I think it's a roadmap that's been laid out, and it's not just because of World War I and II, but it's what's remaining as far as assets. You know, Russia has interest in the gas pipeline, Gazprom, Caspian Sea pipeline, and other hard assets in Syria. It'd be easy to put Putin as some kind of messiah for the simple-minded folks, but...
All right, M.O.D., I'm going to ask you to wrap up, because otherwise I'm not going to have time for the next two callers.
Okay, well, in the meantime, we'll get the, what's the famous words of Trotsky and Mike?
I don't know.
Useful liberal idiots to do the work for us.
Was that Trotsky, or was that...
No, that was Leon Trotsky.
Okay. All right, thank you so much for calling, M.O.D. You take care. Bye-bye. Okay, next up is Brad. Brad, you're on the air. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. My question is, why... is it so horrible for conservatives to believe in ridiculous conspiracy theories, but it's okay for liberals to believe in ridiculous conspiracy theories?
What specific liberal conspiracy theory are you talking about?
Give me proof that one vote was changed in the 2016 presidential election after it was cast by the Russians.
I don't know that we can prove that, but that does not void the theory. The theory is, and there's evidence of it, that the Russians interfered with the election in a number of ways. We know that they accessed voter rolls in something like half a dozen states. We know that they worked with WikiLeaks to dump emails, some of which may have been manipulated or falsified at a time that was crucial in the election, just like they did in France recently.
If you want to say that one half of 1% of people in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania changed their votes because of all the stuff that the Russians sent to WikiLeaks and all the bad news came out, I will accept that. But that's the person, the voter, changing their opinion.
Well,
that's
but
not
the,
Russia.
Well,
doing it. See, that's also the fault of Hillary Clinton for basically trying to sell access to the office of Secretary of State.
She won the election by 2.8 million votes. Let's keep that in mind. She didn't lose the election. She lost in a technicality, a constitutional technicality. She won by 2.8 million votes. It wasn't even close. Okay,
again,
we're talking about three states.
It's her fault for not campaigning in Wisconsin, Michigan,
no,
and Pennsylvania.
No, not necessarily. There's voter suppression. There's ballot. There's voter roll cleaning. There are voting machines that were not counted. Oh, they're broken.
Tell me specific cases. That's as bad as Donald Trump saying illegal aliens in California, 3 million
well,
of them voted.
Well, everything
over there.
I'm
there
saying,
no
everything
proof.
I'm saying, you can find reported, not theorized, reported on the internet. In Detroit, there were numerous ballot boxes that were not counted. That's a Democratic bastion. She could have won Michigan. So there's a lot of hanky panky to go around.
And no hanky panky. It's same with 2004. People say, oh, there's hanky panky going on with George Bush.
All right, let's talk briefly about 2004. Let's talk briefly about 2004. In 2004, all the exit polls showed Kerry far ahead of George Bush. Am I going
to
get a chance to finish?
Okay. Go out to the country
Brad,
side of
Bob?
You know, center Texas or
Bob.
Buffalo, Texas. Okay, they did it all in the suburb areas. They didn't go out into the countryside.
All right, Brad, since you're not going to let me finish, we're just going to kind of turn you down here. The 2004 election, all the exit polls showed Kerry far and away in the lead, winning the election. It turned out, it seems, electronic, paperless balloting, that Bush won. Now, here's the ironic thing. Later on in Ukraine, an exactly similar scenario occurred where all the exit polls showed one person, the competitor, against the entrenched president. All the exit polls showed the competitor winning. And it turned out that they lost. All the Western democracies, including the United States, made the case that exit polls are pretty much never wrong. There must have been some hanky-panky. And there was this big outcry from the Western democracies to redo the Ukrainian election. They assumed that it was defrauded. So, in other words, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. In the United States, exit polls are considered to be almost never wrong, except in the case of Kerry, where you didn't have paper ballots, so you couldn't do an effective recount. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of hanky-panky to suspect, and I think that liberal conspiracy theories, not everyone, but by and large, are more fact-based than conservative conspiracy theories. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to reply for Bob to turn up the volume, and then I'm going to go on to the next caller. All right, let Brad talk for 30 seconds, and then we're going to go on to Stephanie.
Okay, who killed President Kennedy? I want to hear you as a liberal what you think happened.
Actually, I am so glad you asked that because it's been on my mind a lot, and I had no way of bringing it up relevant to anything else. There is a great book called Mortal Error, and they made a documentary of it. And I found it very satisfying in terms of answering all the weird questions. Basically, the punchline is Oswald was a lone shooter. He did hit the president with one shot at the back of the neck, exited the bottom of the throat. The fatal shot was probably accidentally fired by a Secret Service agent in the following car. And when you look at all the details, it answers all the weird stuff about what the Secret Service did and what they did with the autopsy. And it all makes perfect sense on a human level that when the president, when they first heard the shots, the president's car accelerated, the Secret Service car behind him accelerated. One of the Secret Service men who had a live weapon with the, with the safety off, was thrown backwards with the acceleration of the car and accidentally discharged his weapon. And that was the fatal shot that killed Kennedy. It was just accidental. Ballistics support that theory. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, Brad. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer, and I want to get to Stephanie before we run out of time.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Mortal error. Look it up. Stephanie, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
This is Stephanie.
Yes.
I'll make it quick. You were talking about right-wing nutjob Russian organizations, Orthodox, authoritarian, fascist, without the swastika, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Look up Pamyat, P-A-M-Y-A-T. That's a right-wing organization that existed before, during, and after the Soviets, you know, fell and everything.
In which country? In Russia?
Russia. They're still around, although they don't get the headlines, but they're still there. And Putin pretty much operates by their party line. And also look up Black Hundreds. They were kind of like a KKK-type organization, primarily going after Jews, but also any others that were, you know, less than totally 100% white and Orthodox and all that stuff. You'll see a lot of similarities between them and stuff that goes on in this country and the affinity between the Republicans as they exist now as opposed to the party of Lincoln and their buddies overseas.
Hmm.
And what I have to add to that is all of that, the stuff in Syria, the stuff in North Korea, Afghanistan, mother of all bombs and all that, that's simply a diversion.
All right. I'm going to have to let you go because there's something I want to play that runs about a minute and 8 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Thanks for calling.
We're back earlier, Stephanie.
We're going to try something new here. Here we go. And I'm hoping it starts any moment now. YouTube, you're letting me down. This is from the FDR Let Me Warn You speech, 1936. We're not going to have enough time. Go to my website, read the quote. Let me read the beginning of it. It starts out, and I'm not as good as FDR. Let me warn you and warn the nation against the smooth evasion, which says, of course, we believe in Social Security, work for the unemployed, saving homes. Cross our hearts and hope to die. We believe in these things, but we do not like the way the present administration is doing them. Just turn them over to us. We'll do all of them. We'll do more of them. We'll do them better. And most important of all, we'll not cost anybody anything. All right. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Gather around, KPFT listeners from all over the greater Houston area. We're inviting you to a unique show of epic proportions.
Join us for the second Saturday KPFT fundraiser, where KPFT's own Free Minstrel Show and friends present a spectacular spectacle at Station Theater, Houston's home for long-form improvised comedy.
We'll see you there on May 13th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Station Theater is located at 1230 Houston Avenue. Parking is free down Dart Street and at the tire shop.
Visit stationtheater.com/KPFT for more details. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
Get ready for UHD Thursday concerts at Discovery Green. Every Thursday at 7 p.m. from May 11th to June 29th. Enjoy free outdoor concerts showcasing the best musicians from Texas and the Gulf Coast. This week, May 11th, singer-songwriter Joe Ely kicks off the season, performing a mix of Texas country and rock and roll. Brant Croucher opens this not-to-be-missed night. Most street parking is free starting at 6 p.m. Picnics, blankets, and lawn chairs are welcome, but glass containers and alcohol are prohibited. Don't worry, food, wine, and beer are available for purchase from the Lake House.